How about that Trevor Burrow? I love that guy. How about that kid? How about that kid? Yeah, I'm so happy to have him. Just what a great spirit, and what a great measure of maturity for his age. Much further along than I was as a 23-year-old. So very glad to have him, and so in seeing him in that sort of situation, even more glad to have him teaching our students right now, as he, that voice who is competent in that way, teaching our youth every Sunday night. I'm very pleased to be working along with him, so make sure to continue to encourage Trevor and Laura. We are going to begin tonight where he left off this morning. We're in Acts chapter 9, so you open up the Bible with me to Acts chapter 9, and we're going to move on down a little bit from where they were and start in verse 32 is where we will begin tonight. Verse 31, really. Paul becomes a Christian, and immediately he becomes a persecuted Christian. There's not like another way to be a Christian at the time. He is persecuting and attacking Christians. He becomes a Christian, and as you would expect, the Christians are immediately suspicious of him. This guy who was violently persecuting them and now says, "Oh, hey, I'm one of you guys. Jesus is Lord. Let's go preach the gospel." And they're a little worried and leery of him at first, but he begins immediately preaching powerfully, proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord, and many come to believe through his testimony. And so quickly, he also becomes persecuted by the religious leaders at the time. And then we get here to verse 31, and we hear that the time of persecution was ending, and there's a time of peace coming. But whether in persecution or in peace, the gospel was continuing to go forward. It is as if that sort of thing didn't matter at all one way or another. Either way, the gospel continues to move forward as an unstoppable force because it is empowered by our unstoppable Holy Spirit. So let's pray together and let's read, starting in verse 31 of Acts chapter 9. Father God, I thank you so much for this church. I thank you so much for the work that you were doing through these apostles and these deacons, these disciples here in this early church. I thank you that we get to be a part of it, even though so far removed through time and space, yet time and space do not bind you or your work, and so we are delighted to continue in the good work that you are doing. Jesus, we pray that you would come soon, and until that day, we pray that you would strengthen us with peace and strengthen us with wisdom to continue to be fruitful in your name. And this I pray in your name. Amen. Starting there in verse 31. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat." And immediately Aeneas got up, and all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. And she was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." And Peter went with them. And when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. And Peter sent them all out of the room. And he got down on his knees and he prayed, turning towards the dead woman. He said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. And he took her by the hand, and he helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. This is the word of the Lord tonight. It's so good to see these miracles happening, to hear them recorded, and that people believe because, not because of Peter, but because they see that the power of God is still with them. At first, though, before we turn to what Peter is doing in the transition there, verse 31, between what Paul is now doing, the ministry that Paul has and the ministry that Peter has, we read this verse. The church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened. Living in fear of the Lord, encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. Congregation, I tell you today, don't be troubled by trouble. It comes and it goes. In its season, in its ordained time, there are in every church difficult seasons, and there are, if God blesses, joyful seasons, though those aren't promised. However, regardless of what season a church is in, do not be troubled by trouble. Rather, be encouraged by peace, be strengthened by it. Because just as many come to believe during a great persecution that is going on, in the last chapter or two, and now in the season of peace, many more are coming to believe. What does it matter if it is a difficult season or a joyful season? You see, it doesn't. And so I say to you the same thing in your own life. Difficult seasons come for everyone. They are guaranteed. And if God is gracious, so will joyful seasons. But do not be troubled by trouble. There is no difficulty that can derail the salvation that you have in Jesus Christ our Lord. So rather than be troubled by all this, I say to you this, in times of peace, find strength from the Lord. But moreover, in those times of peace, they're doing something very specifically in order to find strength from the Lord. They're doing something very specifically as they see their numbers increased. And those specific things that they are doing is first, they are living in fear of the Lord. Live in fear of the Lord. We do not take His commands lightly, nor do we take His judgment lightly. We live in fear of the Lord. This means not constantly afraid and trembling, but respectful of God as God. We do not take lightly our own sin, because to do so would be to take lightly of Christ dying on the cross for our sin. The grace is offered to us freely, but it was costly for our Lord. Live in the fear of the Lord, knowing that your actions, your words, when we speak up out of anger, we will be judged for these things. If we were to live in fear of the Lord as these ones were, as we are commanded to do, then we would be constantly watching ourselves to say, all right, how can I do better to follow God better? I don't want to be the one responsible for somebody else going away angry because of what they heard that I said. So rather, in all ways, whether privately or corporately, live in fear of the Lord. And the second is this, these two things that they do as their church is increasing and as they're entering a time of peace. They live in fear of the Lord. They are also encouraged by the Holy Spirit. Take courage and be encouraged by the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit on us, not to be ignored, but for our encouragement in difficulty. And the Holy Spirit will speak to you in your difficulty, and He always speaks, especially through Scripture. When you are in a season of difficulty or in a season of peace, be devoted to Scripture and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you through God's Word. You will find in this way the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. You will find the encouragement of the Holy Spirit also through the other believers around you. You will have difficult seasons and you will have joyful seasons. In either season, you need to be a vibrant, meaningful, connected part of a congregation. It simply will not do to be an island, to live as a lone ranger. We are connected with each other because one of the ways in which the Holy Spirit encourages us is through the other believers. And so we must, because we need that encouragement when the time comes, we must be connected with other people. Even if it sometimes means putting up with each other and learning how to live with each other and with differences, yet it also means being encouraged by each other. And so, we gather together. I say this to you, don't be troubled by trouble. Rather, live in fear of the Lord and be encouraged by the Holy Spirit. The last thing said here is that they increased in number, and that is the hope. I mean, that is the joy, right? And we do have to be honest in our hearts, but that's what we want, is to see more people believe. It doesn't have to be more gathered together here with us. It has to be more gathered around someday at that table in heaven. And so we go out on mission trips. So we accept whoever here. And so we send off members to help with the revitalization of other churches as the time comes, or as they feel the Holy Spirit leading them to go help with work with them. We send with blessing, because there is no such thing as robbing Peter to pay Paul in the kingdom of God. Our congregation, we have, because of the Holy Spirit, not because of us, because the Holy Spirit has gifted each one of us with spiritual gifts, we have everything that we need together as a congregation, within the congregation, in order to do the work of God. And were we suddenly deficient of some gifting because somebody left to go use that someplace else, God would raise up again a person who is gifted in the right way in order to provide. The increasing of the numbers is rejoicing for us, because we all want to be fruitful. We all gather together and pray diligently for revival, because we want to have gotten to be a part of the good work that God is doing. We want to not only see, which is incredible to get to do, to see God's good work in the world, but to get to be a part of it, even a small part, is incredible to get to do. So we pray diligently that the Holy Spirit would continue to increase in number those who believe. Now, as Peter, it's pre-sermon, there's one verse. Now, as Peter, don't worry, we'll be short like we usually are on a Sunday night. As Peter travels, as the narrative transitions from Paul to Peter, we see two things. First of all, Peter brings somebody back from the dead. It's kind of a big deal. What you're to remember here, what you're to think about, as this woman who is dearly beloved by her congregation, they send off these men to go find him. They hear he's in the area, and so they say, hey, come on, come over here. And he says, get up, and she is dead, and now she's not dead, is what we see in this passage. It's a miracle. But again, it is not the work of Peter. It is the work of God. It is the Holy Spirit. They send to Peter because they know clearly that the Holy Spirit is on these apostles in a certain transitioning way, to demonstrate that the same power that was in Jesus Christ is still in the church today for them. You are supposed to think about, when you read this, what Jesus had done in the Gospels. You're supposed to think about Lazarus and how Jesus, several days later, arrived and rose his friend Lazarus from the grave. They had already put him in the grave, and Jesus called him out of it. You are to think even more clearly in Mark chapter 5. Jesus is brought to this religious leader's house because his young daughter had died. And he says to her, Talitha, which means little girl or honey, hey, sweetheart, you know, rise up, get up. And though she was dead, she rose again there and lived again. This power, Jesus was in this power, Jesus was demonstrating that he was God. Peter is likewise demonstrating that the same power of God that was in Jesus Christ, that showed everybody that he was in fact from God and was God, what Peter is showing is that the same power is still present amongst believers. And I would argue to you that the Holy Spirit has not departed from his people, nor is his power diluted in any way. At no point does Scripture say, and then, you know, the Holy Spirit kind of calmed down a little bit and stepped back a little bit to just watch for generations. Our expectation is that the Holy Spirit is still active and powerful in the congregation today, just like he was at this time. That's our expectation. This power has not gone away. The Holy Spirit has not left us in any way. Rather, as we've come to believe, the Holy Spirit has been put onto our lives to seal our salvation and to empower us. So I say, God is still with us. And this sort of power is still with us. So what are we supposed to do, knowing that? Well, going back there to verse 31, be encouraged by the Holy Spirit. This power that changes people's life and raises the dead is the power that is at work in our church. This power isn't some kind of impersonal force like the force. This is the Holy Spirit, God Himself, who loves us dearly and is with us constantly. So what shall we do, given that we have the Holy Spirit? Pray diligently for healing. Since we have this power on us, we pray diligently and we pray in faith, knowing that it is possible. It is no problem for us to pray for our believers who are with us, who are ailing, who are hurt, our friends and family members who are in poor health. We pray to them to the exact same God and in the same power, this Holy Spirit that brings people to life. So it's no trouble to say, Father, heal them. Father, please heal my friend. Heal this one. We also pray diligently for salvation. As Trevor was speaking of this morning, once you've seen that Saul can become Paul, I mean, there's hope for anyone. Amen. So we pray diligently for the salvation of the people around us, whether it is family, whether it is friends, whether it is neighbors. We pray for salvation because we know the power of the Holy Spirit. People come to faith through hearing the gospel, so that has to be a part of it as well. We go and preach the gospel, we go and invite people, we go and share it. But it is the power of the Holy Spirit, is God at work in the hearts of people that actually changes their lives. And so prayer, diligent prayer for salvation, must always be a part of this congregation, a part of our lives. Prayer for revival. This is why it is so neat that we have a prayer room. This is why it is so good to get to participate all together. Go find yourself a time to sign up for the prayer vigil, to spend some time here continually praying for revival, because the Holy Spirit has not slowed down. The Holy Spirit has not gotten tired. The Holy Spirit is active powerfully, just like He is in this passage. And our hope is that many would come to believe just like they do in this passage. The last thing I want to point you to here in this passage is the central value of women to the church. No joking here, no patronizing here. Just look at what's happening. This woman, Tabitha, is so important in the life of this church that as she gets sick and dies, they hear that Peter's in the area and they send people to go find Peter. This is a critical issue in their church, that someone that they love, someone that has worked so hard and is a cornerstone of their church, has died. And so they go to get Peter, and as they bring Peter in, you have all these widows, apparently of this ministry that this woman led, all the clothes that she had made for them, in every way that she had provided. They're showing this to Peter. She, Tabitha, was a center of this church. And so, also, we recognize the central value that women are to any church. We know from Scripture that the offices of pastor and deacon are reserved for men. And that's all right. That doesn't change the value that God puts on all men and women. Christ didn't die more for men or for women, but died for us all. Neither has God loved one more than the other. And I would say to you now, no church works without women. No, this church does not function anymore. If the godly women who are members here suddenly disappeared, it'd be the end of it. We recognize in this passage the central value of women for the church. Different roles, sure, but equal in value to the Father, equal in purpose for ministry, equal in expectation for evangelism, for being able to share the gospel with us. It seems, so what is the difference in the church? It seems, think about this, whether it be in the call for pastor and deacon, or perhaps even in the way that the command not to eat, because it all goes back to the way God created us, the command not to eat given to Adam before Eve is created, is brought into the world. There's something about leadership and the keeping of theology, conveying of theology, that God has commanded men to do, that Adam fails at, that men have failed at from time to time, but yet are called to do. And yet, without both men and women hard at work, their hands full, arms linked, the church does not work at all. And so, dear sisters, who are here tonight. In Christ, you will find your fullest life and freedom by using your spiritual gifts to encourage the congregation and to minister to those in need. All promises of liberty or freedom that are out there in the world are just new ways to be enslaved again. But in Christ, there is real liberty to be not second class, but primary in the eyes of God. Also recognize the faith of this church. When did they send the guys to go find Peter? It's after she'd already died. That's the faith that they have, not in Peter, but in the Holy Spirit. Knowing that God is still with them, they send for an apostle. This transitional role that does not exist anymore, they send for Peter because the Holy Spirit is on him to demonstrate to this congregation, that the Holy Spirit is still living and well and active in the life of the church. And so they believe. And so we must believe. Congregation, give you these four exhortations tonight. Let us live rightly and treat God as if He is sovereign, because He is. Let us live encouraged by the Holy Spirit. And let us always remember and recognize the power that is with us in the Holy Spirit, our God. Finally, let us never forget the central value of the women of our church. Father God, I love you dearly, and I thank you so much that you have brought us all together from all over the place, as different as we are, but all to worship you. Father, thank you that you've provided within this congregation everything that we need in order to do the good work of proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord to the world. I'm so excited about this revival because it's just one of those events where everybody gets to exercise their gifts and we all get to flex our arms and link up together to work for your name, to see people saved. Our endeavor will be inviting many people and making accommodations for them when they arrive. Father, send the Holy Spirit out to stir the hearts of many people. There are so many who need to know about you here. There are so many who are lost. There's such a dire need for a great revival in this area. Father, send your Holy Spirit out in power. And as we go out, we will go out recognizing and expecting great things because we trust you. And this I pray in your name. Amen.